Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for What Mama Wants. Personally, I think Mother Earth wants far less toxics and more health for her planet. This is a chance to hear from educators, citizens, policymakers, and scientists about the role toxics, like mercury, PFAS, and pesticides, are playing in our daily lives. My guest today is Don Kimball. He's a fellow host on WMPG with Friendly Fire, a voice for veterans, which airs at 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. Don was a non-commissioned officer stationed on Pease Air Force Base from 1977 to 1981 when they were still using firefighting foam galore, which we now know is full of PFAS and eventually seeped into the water supply there. He's here today to talk about toxics related to his experience in the military and as a DJ on Friendly Fire. So thank you very much for joining me today on What Mama Wants, Don.
Kate, it's a real pleasure to be on your show, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, I think it's fun to get to play with a fellow DJ.
Right.
So we'll start with PFAS and your exposure while you were stationed at Pease Air Force Base, working as an air traffic controller in the late 70s. What was it like then?
Well, nobody knew, except, of course, the chemical companies, Kate, that PFAS was even something to be worried about back then, or we didn't even know really that it existed. We knew when the firefighters foamed the runway, when an emergency aircraft was coming in to reduce the chance of a fire, that it was just SOP, standard operating procedure. I view this from the control tower, and nobody thought anything about it. Of course, the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard is just right across the Piscataqua River from Pease Air Force Base, which is in Newington, New Hampshire, actually. And so you've got both of those bases using PFAS in firefighting foam, both for firefighting purposes, and they're used in fire extinguishers also. So a lot of hangars, like the Brunswick Naval Air Station, the hangars have firefighting suppression systems that are loaded with that PFAS foam. And if the smoke detectors go off, here it comes. And of course, there's supposed to be a drainage system for these. A lot of times they're not maintained well. So unbeknownst to me or anybody else, you know, we were being exposed to PFAS in the drinking water.
Yeah, the people who've worked on the base of Pease Air Force Base in Newington, New Hampshire for years were recently part of a study. And I wondered if you could tell us what's been going on there with regard to testing for PFAS in the blood of the people who live there, work there.
Most assuredly. And the Center for Disease Control has a branch called, are you ready? The National Center for Environmental Health Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. It's a mouthful. Anyway, that's the outfit that did this study. And as far as I know, Pease Air Force Base was the only military base in the country that had this study performed. So the Pease study was conducted and tested people who were stationed at Pease, people who happened to live in base housing, and people who were contractors. A report was issued to me after I went down there and gave them a blood and urine sample. And it came to me 17 months after the testing. Okay. And the results are, I can't decipher them.
I wonder if you've seen the PFAS Exchange has a new tool where people can enter in the PFNAs or PFOSs, PFOAs, and then you can enter your results and the measurement units, and they'll help you make sense of your results.
You're very kind. And yeah, it did indicate that cholesterol was high. And of course, PFAS can affect people's health by increasing cholesterol levels. Also can change in liver enzymes, decrease vaccine response in children, increase risk of high blood pressure, decreases in infant birth weights, and increase risk of kidney or testicular cancers.
Don, your show Friendly Fire helps bring the awful reality of the class of chemicals called PFAS to the forefront so that people can protect themselves and the environment And I was wondering, what are some ways that people are exposed to PFAS in their everyday environment?
So PFAS, people are asking, what is PFAS? You know, perfluoral alkali and polyfluoral alkali substances, PFAS, about 12,000 of them, used in waterproofing, Scotchgard, Gore-Tex, things of that nature. And it's really troubling how many different items these chemicals are found in. And I'm sure if you're watching the news lately, you know, Maine's actually been quite out there and on the forefront dealing with PFAS contamination. And they've required by 2030 that certain companies meet certain restrictions in Maine. The Chamber of Commerce has been petitioning the government to extend that 2030 deadline, which is absolute horseshit. You can't say that. Absolutely. DuPont and 3M, they started making these chemicals in the 50s, knowing that they were not good for the environment. And here companies still are asking for another extension. No, I'm sorry. You've polluted us long enough. Forever. I call them forever everywhere chemicals.
They're ubiquitous and they bioaccumulate. So you get a little exposure today, a little tomorrow, a little the next day through your food, your water, and your products. And it adds up and it creates havoc in your body.
So these chemicals are no fun at all. And people can avoid these chemicals by, one, if you have something made out of Gore-Tex or something that's Scotch-guarded, well, you might want to think about getting rid of those because they contain PFAS. You know, the biggest example of that, I think, Kate, is our firefighters, our heroes. The number one cause of death for firefighters is cancer. The go gear that the firefighters have to wear when they go to a fire, they have a moisture barrier that they have to wear that's in contact with their skin, heavily loaded with PFAS. And we owe our firefighters so, so much. And one of the things we owe them is safe gear to wear. They also need to be tested. Recently, Pat Elder, who runs militarypoisons.org, he's been at the forefront of PFAS, exposing the PFAS contamination. And he has mentioned that lately that firefighters are now able to be tested for PFAS. And that's a good thing. But back to, you know, how people in everyday living can reduce their exposure. Teflon pans, Kate. Nope. Don't do it.
The nonstick pans. And that includes in your toaster oven, in your Foreman grill. That's all Teflon. That nonstick stuff is not good. They've replaced it with other nonstick stuff, which is still not good.
And I recently saw something entitled Quibbles About Kibbles. Some of the Purina pet food bags are lined with PFAS. So the four-leggeds can be adversely affected by these chemicals just as much as the two-leggeds. Even the popcorn bags now have that little waxy interior that's kind of a waterproof coating. That's PFAS.
Beware of waterproof.
Dental floss.
Yes, Glide dental floss is a wonderful way to up your PFAS levels if you're looking to get sick.
Yep. Desert Essence is the floss that I use now. That's one of the few that does not have PFAS in it. So, you know, everything's in degrees and stuff. And how hard is it to convince people, look, this is the biggest public health crisis as far as chemical contamination since what? I mean, PVCs, perhaps, Love Canal.
You talked about Scotchgard, and sometimes they'll ask you, would you like a special protection on your sofa that you're buying? Or how about on your car seats? You have little kids. Don't you want a special waterproof protection on your car seats? And that's a good one to say no to, too, if you're hoping to avoid PFAS.
Yeah. I mean, what was so revolutionary about this chemical was that the bonding of these molecules prevented, you know, water from being absorbed and everything just ran off. Well, wonderful. But guess what? It doesn't break down and it gets into everything. It's forever. It's everywhere. Yeah, it's a huge concern. It's huge. Kate, the first time I ever heard of PFAS, somebody was mentioning that there's a chemical molecule that's found in every living being on the planet. I thought, what? somebody in Nepal has this, how would they ever get it? But that's how prevalent the PFAS is. It's just everywhere. It's the everywhere, forever chemicals. And of course, drinking water is a concern. They're measuring toxic amounts in parts per trillion. This is how insidious these chemicals are, parts per trillion. And now it's not just the water. And now it's being found in food. The Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife on November 23rd of last year issued a do not eat advisory for deer. Moose have been found to be contaminated with this also.
When I listen to your show, Friendly Fire, I always hear you connecting people with resources throughout the whole show. And I wonder where you send people who are wanting to learn ways to reduce their everyday exposure to PFAS and learn about harmful chemicals.
Well, first of all, a book that we both read because we're big fans of Mindy Messmer and her latest book, Female Disruptor. I suggest getting that book and reading about the double children's cancer cluster in the seacoast area of New Hampshire. It's a huge concern. And because of the bases there, you know, the former Pease Air Force Base and Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, it's a huge problem. So I would definitely read her book. We already talked about Pat Elder at militarypoisons.org, expert in PFAS contamination, just an amazing, amazing individual. And then also Gavin Smith, his website, civilianexposure.org. He's an incredible person, and he's got an unbelievable website. Those are certainly some good resources right there. There's also a Vermont Military Poisons Project, and they have some great information. And then there also is the New Hampshire Water Alliance, and you could also go to that site, New Hampshire Water Alliance, and to find out more information. They're watching this very closely. And it's only going to be found in more and more things because it's the forever chemical.
I noticed just this week I Googled PFAS, which is not an uncommon thing for me to do. But this time at the very top of the list came an ad for water testing for your home. It's possible to buy a water PFAS test for your home now, which that's new. So last week, my guest, Dr. Pereira, was all about air pollution caused by burning fossil fuels and the connection to both children's health and climate change from the burning of fossil fuels. And I was talking with you about that, and you mentioned to me that the largest consumer of fossil fuels, thus producer of greenhouse gas emissions, in the world is the U.S. Department of Defense. And honestly, I'd never heard that, which surprised me. And I looked it up in a couple places. There's a great paper from Brown in 2019 that goes all through it. And I wondered why then the military is not part of the conversation whenever we talk about climate change, which is recognized as a national threat, but they do not admit to contributing to it.
Yeah, and they really need to. You know, the Kyoto Protocols, the United States military got a pass. And if you're the largest contributor to carbon production on the planet, you should not be getting a pass. And military really needs to start to cut back on this, but I don't see realistically how we're ever going to accomplish this. I think maybe a more realistic goal, Kate, would be to try to reduce the size of the United States military and therefore reduce the carbon footprint doing it that way. I don't think we're going to get DOD to try to cut down their greenhouse emissions when really take the United States Navy, for example, and their resistance to cleaning up water pollution in Hawaii that they caused from the Red Hill facility, which is these tanks that were built during World War II. Because, of course, you know, Hawaii is just a waypoint for ships to be fueled. And the Navy has been totally resisting cleaning up their mess there. And they really don't look like they care about their people at all. It's gotten so bad that some in the Pentagon consider it a national security risk because people aren't going to want to go into the military because they don't want to be exposed to these kind of things, especially women. Women make up 16% of the military. And without that 16%, the missions cannot get done. And so really, you know, it needs to be looked at as a national security issue. If you're not going to take care of your people, which is despicable. And look at it from a standpoint of being battle ready. You can't be ready if your people are scattered all over the place because you've polluted the water on the base.
Good point. And I will say that I'll link to a tool from Environmental Working Group that looks at all the pollution on the bases, the U.S. military bases.
Yeah, and I'm sure we've all seen the Camp Lejeune ads ad nauseum about how polluted everything was there and still continues to be. You know, we could talk about, there's a new book out on Hanford, and it's called The Most Poisoned Place on the Planet, I believe. And Ralph Nader interviewed the author. And Hanford out in Washington State had at one time, I think, between 4 and 6 nuclear reactors built right after World War II as part of the Manhattan Project. And they've got tanks holding liquid waste that's radioactively contaminated that are leaking, 2 tanks. And the closest reactor is only 5 miles from the Columbia River. They don't know how to stop it. They don't know what to do. Yet we continue to produce radioactive waste. And the same thing, Kate, can be said for the PFAS. The first step is stop producing the material, but they're not. And every time legislation comes forward to stop one particular type of PFAS, PFOS chemical, they just reformulate it and come out with another one. And it's maddening. But the amount of toxins here, and this is one reason your show is just so critically important, is people in society, we're just being polluted to death. And I can see a lot of people probably are burned out. A lot of people just accept cancer now as, just a fact of life. And, you know, how do we ever get to that point, Kate, where cancer is acceptable? No, it's not acceptable. And the people that produce the compounds and the chemicals that give us cancer, that's not acceptable either. And the legislators that allow the companies to do it, that's not acceptable. We've got to stop poisoning the planet. We've got to stop poisoning the people. And of course, our four-legged friends too. Everything's connected, right?
Absolutely.
Am I too negative?
I think it's reality. And I think sometimes we don't connect it. In fact, one of those men that runs one of the websites, a civilian exposure, said, you know, when his dad died of cancer, he had leukemia, I think, and he said he didn't think anything of it. It was just bad luck. He got leukemia. But when he looked into it, he's like, this wasn't luck. Everybody working in that chemical plant was having exposures and dying of leukemia and similar diseases. And it's not an accident. And it adds up generation to generation. In the book Countdown, which is about sperm counts going down, you know, certain chemicals that we're exposed to, we pass to our next generation and our next generation. So maybe our grandmothers could handle what they were being exposed to, but then you add your mother's exposure and add your exposure, and the toxic exposures add up, which is how I think now that toxics is such a big topic in time, it's become bigger.
And it should be. Again, we can't emphasize this enough. People are under threat. The planet's under threat. We're just inundated with it. And I know it's hard for people to perhaps accept this PFAS diagnosis, if you will, but it's out there, and we need to deal with it. And, you know, talking about the climate, if I may, on November 16th, there is an action in Boston. It's in solidarity because, of course, COP27 is going on right now in Egypt. And so this is in solidarity with the COP27 activists. There's an action. It's a part of the Stop the War, Save the Climate. And it's going to be at the Chase Bank in Boston, Winter and Washington Street, 11 o'clock on November 16th. It's Veterans for Peace, in conjunction with many other groups throughout the country, are going to be having actions to raise awareness about Chase has heavily invested in the fossil fuel industry. And we're telling them they've got to divest. And if they don't divest, we're asking the stockholders and the people who do business with Chase to go do their business somewhere else. It's because, you know, as they're talking about in COP27 right now, Kate, I mean, the situation is incredibly dangerous. 350.org was started because 350 was the number that we couldn't pass parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Kate, the last time I looked, 416.
Yeah, the two topics of climate change and PFAS are so similar. We need to clean up, definitely. But it doesn't make much sense to clean up furiously while you're still polluting. So it's a lot easier to clean up if you stop the source and then clean up.
Yep. Think globally, act locally.
Right on.
You've probably never heard that one before.
I think I have the bumper sticker. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to What Mama Wants, Less Toxics and More Health. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is fellow DJ and talk show host at WMPG, Don Kimball, of the radio program called Friendly Fire, which looks at all things related to veterans, including shows about toxics, which I always appreciate. Don, when you served in the Air Force, you were a self-described right-wing Christian meat-eating type. But somewhere along the way, you became a union organizer, tree-hugger, atheist. And I am so curious what led you down this very different path.
I think probably the aha moment for me was right back in about 1980. And it was a Sunday morning on the base, Pease Air Force Base. My wife and I at the time lived in base housing. And the klaxons went off on Sunday morning. And we thought that was unusual because usually there's no drills on Sunday morning. None of the officers, nobody wants to get up on Sunday morning and play war. So that was a concern right off. This is a strategic air command base. SAC was the abbreviation. SAC's role was one of deterrence. The United States policy was, we will not launch our nuclear weapons first. And of course, the Biden administration, they just issued their nuclear posture review, which they do every year. And the Biden administration in the nuclear posture review has not ruled out, Kate, a first strike. This is a real bad move on the part of the United States. But anyway, back then, okay, we won't strike first. So the klaxons go off and there's what they called an alert force. So since SAC had the role of deterrence, the whole mission of the base was to launch the fighter bombers with our nuclear weapons towards the Soviet Union at the time, now Russia. Get them airborne before the incoming Soviet missiles destroyed the base and the aircraft on the ground, because that was the mission. Get those aircraft out, take them out before they can get launched. So the whole mission of the base was launch those bombers with the nukes. So people have all probably seen, you know, footage of the pilots in their flight suits climbing up ladders, getting into their aircraft, and this was it. So the fighter bomber engines were now going and they were getting ready to taxi to launch to go to nuclear war, and the windows in the base housing were rattling. Of course, you have to report to your duty station. So I can remember looking at my wife and her looking at me and thinking, it's happening. It's happening. Goodbye. Maybe we never see each other again. Right? Well, before that happened, I don't even know if I got out the door. But what had happened was a mess up, a screw up. And if you ever read Eric Schlosser's Command and Control, I highly recommend the book. Eric Schlosser, the author of Fast Food Nation, I believe. he wrote a wonderful book, Command and Control, very, very well researched, that talks about, Kate, how many times we have come to nuclear disaster. And he talks about this particular incident in there. So what happened, Cheyenne Mountain, where the defense command is underground in a mountain in Cheyenne in Colorado, they decided to do some training that morning. Let's train the new people and put some software in and simulate 2,000 Soviet missiles coming over the pole towards the United States. Okay, great. Now, people on the other side of the room, sitting there, probably smoking a cigarette with their feet up, having a cup of coffee, talking about their Red Sox or something. All of a sudden, they look down and they see what? 2,000 incoming Soviet missiles coming over the North Pole. Holy crap. And they hit the alert button. Now all the SAC bases in the world are now getting ready to launch their nuclear weapons. And of course they caught it before it happened. I think Brzezinski was the national security advisor, I believe at the time, for Jimmy Carter, was about ready to wake the president up. Mr. President, you know, because the president had the final authority, the launch codes. The president had what they call the football with him, which has the launch codes in it. Again, just another instance of how close we could come to blowing this planet up with nuclear weapons. And so that was my moment. Okay, this can happen. And I've got to just work to try to make the world a better place. I don't know, that sounds too trite. But, you know, that was my aha moment.
Whom do you attribute your peaceable activism to you?
Boy, probably I wasn't a draft dodger, but I can remember going out and going to anti-war demonstrations during Vietnam. And perhaps, you know, reading Gandhi, MLK Jr., and just became convinced, and I'm convinced today, that, you know, the only way for effective change is through nonviolent direct action. It works. That social justice issues and the environment are very closely related. Indigenous rights, closely related. Yeah, everything's connected. And Veterans for Peace, that is very much involved with the issues that we talked about. And Veterans for Peace was actually started here in Maine, Kate. It's, I think, one of the finest group people I've ever been associated with them. And Veterans for Peace issued its own nuclear posture review. Veterans for Peace has issued a statement on the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. And Veterans for Peace is very active in trying to stop the war in Ukraine. Why isn't anybody advocating for peace? Because not only the threat of nuclear war, but the threat of radioactive contamination from the Zaporizhzhia power plant, which is the largest nuclear reactor in all of Europe. It's been bombed. It's lost power a couple of different times. And for all of us who remember the terrible tragedy that was Fukushima, Zaporizhzhia would be even worse. Veterans for Peace is very much about getting the word out to people. So very proud to be a member of that. I think one of the best ways to honor and remember veterans is to not send any more to war. Peace is patriotic, and I'm proud to be a member of Veterans for Peace. Very proud. But anyways, I got involved with Earth First, Sierra Club, and things like that. And then eventually, Kate, that's kind of how I got into Friendly Fire, a voice for veterans, because if we don't stop the United States military, the largest carbon footprint in the world, then really, we have no chance. Look, another hurricane's hitting Florida. Look at the temperatures last week here. 74 degrees in the first week of November. Yeah, it's here. It's now global climate chaos, and it's only going to get worse unless we stop. Now, how do we stop it? I'm always a big advocate of, okay, we present a problem, and yeah, okay, anybody can talk about a problem. How do we solve these problems?
I like that you think along those lines. And so maybe this is the right time to ask you, as a veteran, what do you think? What does Mama want?
Mama wants some sanity. Mama wants to be loved. Mama wants to be nourished. Mama wants to be cherished. Mama wants to be restored. Kate, I think part of the problem is people don't realize the bounty of this country. I can recommend a couple of books. Land of the Eagle is one of them that talks about the unbelievable bounty that was here that we have just wasted, absolutely wasted. And also there's another book, Seeds of Peace. It's a Smithsonian publication, also talks about these things. So we got to try to fix things. But again, think globally, act locally goes a long way towards helping things. Your diet is a huge thing also. I mean, the number one cause of deforestation, Kate, in the Amazon is?
Hamburger.
Exactly. Yeah. They're cutting down the rainforest to plant for cattle to graze. And this is the lungs of the earth. Yeah, diet's a huge factor in the climate.
So to close this interview, I'd like to ask you a few quick questions about your personal relationship to Mama Earth, if you're game.
All righty.
All right. As a kid, what was your favorite thing to do outside when you were out in nature?
You know, I was very privileged to be part of the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts introduced me really to the natural world. I grew up in a little community called Manchester by the Sea, which is in Massachusetts, Troop 3. We had a great scout leader, Don Toll. And, you know, that troop thing was going out and hiking in the White Mountains, the Green Mountains, all summer. And I have a slide of me on a hiking trip somewhere, and I had made a raft for my pioneering merit badge. And I was out in the middle of the lake, barefoot with cutoff jeans and a t-shirt and this funky looking hat I had on, and the raft is sinking. And I entitled that picture 15 and Free. Yeah. Wow. We didn't know how good we had it. So yeah, so it was really the Boy Scouts that gave me my appreciation for nature.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there a time in nature when you have felt awe?
I have a picture of it on my wall. It's my one trip to Alaska, Kate, where I got to go up to the campground that runs close to Denali, Mount Denali, the great one, which is the original name. And I have a picture that I took. It was just a perfect composition of the blue sky, clouds, Denali. And in the foreground was this pond with the sun sparkling off. And I can remember that moment because I just sat there and it was the one place I've been in the one moment in time in my life where I've been, where I was somewhere that was unchanged for millennia. There were no power lines. There were no airplanes. There were no cars. There were no people. There was just me and the mountain. Wow. Yeah.
It's profound. What's one thing you currently just kind of wonder about?
You know, that's a great question. And I'm always wondering about everything, but I think perhaps she's looking at me right now, and I call her Bertha. My screensaver is this huge sperm whale whose eye is looking right at me. And she's saying, "What are you doing, you stupid humans?" Because whales are much smarter than we are. But of course, we have much more of an impact on what's happening on the planet than they do. It's kind of like the people from third world countries who don't have as much as we have. You know, the industrial world creates like unbelievable amount of the carbon emissions that are contributing to the demise of everybody. And people in these countries are going, "Hey, you in the industrial world, what are you doing to me?" And this whale, Bertha, every time I come up, she's looking at me saying, "Don, get out there. You stop it. Doing what I can, Bertha."
And finally, what's your favorite baby animal?
I thought about this and I thought about it long and hard, and I'd have to say hedgehogs. Look at a picture of a baby hedgehog. The cutest thing ever. Now, I don't even know if there's a team called the hedgehogs or not, but if there isn't, I'm going to start one, the hedgehogs.
Yeah, they're darling. Don, you are a fierce advocate for veterans, citizens, the planet, everybody, and you do that work through a lens of peace and love. And you really go out on a limb to raise awareness and connect people with resources they need to lead healthier lives. So thank you for having the courage to speak out about things that are difficult. And thank you for being my guest today on What Mama Wants.
Kate, my honor and privilege, and I hope that I can continue speaking truth with power.
Thanks very much, Don.